good to see good friends from Chicago, Angela, Ichinose, and Hanabi. I want you guys to stand up. I want you to look at Noah's height. Okay, go ahead and stand. Now, he says he's not as tall as Dad, but Dad says he's like an inch higher. So they're competing on their height right there. But you said what, a little bit? A little bit, okay. But it's good to have you guys. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us and building relationships. We miss Fred, so I guess we'll have to swap it. All right. Today we're going to look at part of the hometown missionary. We're going to learn from the Old Testament heroes. Now, there are so many in the Old Testament. I just picked three, okay? My favorite three, and hopefully we'll be able to learn from that. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for this weekend. The whole country can enjoy and remember the fallen. Remember those who have served the country for years and years. Thank you, God, for the men here, like Webb and Joe and Tony and Lee and Luke and Perry, Otha and Kevin. God, you have strengthened them, Lord. You inspired them to go and put their life on the line. Lord, today help us to learn from men in the Bible, the Old Testament. God, people like Abraham and Nehemiah and David, how they were so passionate. They were so tuned with you, Lord. Even though they're weak, they continue to struggle with you. And God, because of that, you use them so powerfully. Lord, help us, the men and women and friends here, that we too can learn from them and we can imitate by looking at the Word of God this morning. Help us to remember what you have done for us on the cross also. Lord, we love you. In his name we pray. Amen. At the end, we'll have Lauren Jr. come and share a story. So that's going to be exciting. Amen. I think she's ready. She's a year older now. I just want to quickly talk about... There it is, right over there. The hometown missionary. So if you haven't got the brochure, it's right here. Did anyone, everybody get a copy of this? Yes? No? All right, two more on the back. I want you to go through it, and this is our summer plan. So next week we won't have a midweek. We're taking a break and coming back on June 13th, midweek combined for the summer right here in Cornerstone. So this week we have women, next week is off. Then we'll come back June 13th all together here in Cornerstone. Also, I'm doing a Bible Talk training. We're going to start up new Bible Talks this summer at East Paris, Comstock Park in Paradise Lake. It's going to be exciting, and we're going to do a two-Sunday training. So on June 3rd, we see the announcement earlier on by Simon, June 3rd and June 10th from 12 to 1. If you want to lead a Bible talk, if you want to get a taste of it, if Madison, you want to do one in Kalamazoo College, let me know. It's just for the summer. What we're going to do is we're going to take the nets and put it over there. That's what I'm going to do. In Paradise Lake, I'm going to take a big net. I'm just going to throw it. And that's what Rick wants to do. That's what Dave wants to do in Comstock Park. He wants to take the net and throw it. Let's see if we can catch some fish. Okay? Inspire them. I'm going to do a lot of training how to do that, to-dos, how to do it. It'll be like 15, 20 minutes of Bible talk. I can give you lessons if you want. We'll do some training. That will be fun. Okay. Just a reminder about the prayer. I hope you're enjoying your prayer times with the Lord. Great quiet times we have. We did talk about this week. If you haven't already talked about it or read through it, it's about the whole process. Okay? It's about the process of man, creation, the spirit, the fall, the redemption, and the restoration. Okay? If you haven't done through it, I want to encourage you, go through it. Because this really gives you a good overview. It really helps us to connect us in the picture. And that's what it's all about. This whole Quiet Time series and how to be a Hope Town missionary next month is to connect with God. Amen to that? If you need help with that, let me know or talk to somebody in your family group. I believe we got copies. If you didn't get a copy, let me know. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about Abraham for a little bit, about stepping out in faith. We're going to talk about David, a man after God's own heart. And Nehemiah, we're going to talk about he being the prayer warrior. And I want us to look at today, in the eyes of how they did it, they had struggles. But we may have struggles too. But it's to really look at, okay, what can I do? How can I step out in faith today in the 21st century in my hometown where I live? And I want us to think that way. What can I do? What David did? And finally, my prayer life. How is that coming along? All right? So the first one we're going to look at is Abraham in Romans 4. Turn with me. Romans chapter 4, and Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. We'll read chapter 4, starting from verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Promise comes through faith, through your faith, through the faith of Abraham. And it's very, very important for us to understand it's all up to your faith. What do you believe today? How do you view God? Is the key for your growth. That's why it's referred to also to those of the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all, as it's written. I have made you a father of many nations. He's our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. So he never looks at a circumstance or situation as dead. He sees it as alive. It's an opportunity. God can work. That's how I'm looking at Paradise Lake. I know a lot of Bible talk, but I'm going to start believing somebody could be open out there who would love the gospel. 10 days ago, Pam and I met this wife, and their husband just moved. The wife's from Bangalore, and the husband's from Grand Rapids. Go figure that one. I said, we too are the same way. Really? And we moved our kids when they're 10 and 7. That's when we too also moved. Back to Bangalore at 10 and 7. And a boy and a girl. Like, okay, all right, stop. This is like, Lord's God. But I'm going in that faith that somebody's out there and they just moved. They bought a home. They're closing it in June on Cascade Road. It's not my doing. God will open and create that opportunities when you step out in faith that you want to do something, that you're about to take the net, and God will put the fish there. But if you don't take the net, you don't believe, the fish is going somewhere else. And so Abraham believed that even if something is dead, it can be alive. If you look at Hebrews 11, in Hebrews 11, very quickly, we'll come back to this. How's everybody doing? Oh man, I can whisper. I don't even need to talk loudly anymore. That's so cool. Okay, Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11.
I better speak loud because Rick was listening to the messages and he said, you couldn't hear half what I was talking about. But he said, come on, bro, preach it. I said, man, I got to go check out this church. Now they're coming here. All right, so once in a while, just say amen, preach it. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right, okay. So somebody out there in Singapore who wants to move here, listen up and say, man, that church is fired up. They can even hear the kids say amen. The campus.
Yeah.
And the Merits.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. The Merits are more fired up. Oh, come on now. We're going to do this again. All the kids.
Yeah.
All the students.
Yeah.
And the Merits.
Yeah.
I hope they come to church now. They were just saying amen all the time. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. If you don't have faith, you're not going to be doing it. You're like, what? What are you thinking, God? He didn't argue. When he had faith, he will do that. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had just said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So he had full confidence. Even if God wanted me to do it, he knew. He reasoned. He had that strong relationship with God. I'm not going to worry about my life. It looks so bleak in my life. Everything is so not so good. My boss doesn't like me. And I may lose my job. And I got 3 months notice. And I don't like that class. And you know, that teacher is looking at me weird. And I got a bad grade. But if you have a strong belief system with God, then you not panic, even when the professor looks at you. Because you're looking through the eyes of God. So here what we can learn from Abraham. Abraham believed against all hope. Let's continue reading. Back in Romans 4. Flip over. Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, that's a long time to wait to have a baby. Would you wait that long? Okay, 100. We won't wait for 10 years. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him. So when you have faith, when you believe in God, your credit score, your belief credit score is going to go up. Did you know when you have faith, it's being righteous? When you're faithless, you're being unrighteous? You know, we don't want our credit score to go down, do we? Anyone in this room like, I want to go? No, we want to go up all the time, right? We try to pay off that debt. We don't want to take too much loan. And, you know, we want to grow to help you. In the same way, we want to have more faith so that our faith credit score can go up. and we can continue to please God. So that's about Abraham. Let's look at David right now. In the book of Acts in 13, the writer Luke talks about him in Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. David wanted to do all God's will. He did not want to just go to church. He wanted to do all his will. All his heart. You know, David, as we all know, had great relationship with God. Amen. A lot of victories. Conquered nations, kings, commanders under him. A lot of great victories. But his sin was his downfall. But even when he sinned, he wanted to change. He was confronted by a prophet, Nathan. You want to read up in 1 Samuel, this whole story is there. He was confronted. But when he was confronted, his response, he was defensive. Who are you talking about, me? And then Nathan convicted him about his sin. But once he got convicted, his sin was right in front of him. Let's look in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, and I think we need to have a good understanding about David's heart here, that even when he did sin, he wanted to do God's will. And I think too often, men and women in this country, in this world, when they sin, they run away. They drift away. They don't want to talk about it. They're like, oh, there's no hope. They're throwing the towel too fast. But when he was confronted, he had a very broken spirit. In Psalm 51, in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. See, he had a soft heart. When he was confronted, when he was challenged, he became aware. That's what change comes, is being aware of your sin. It's always before you. And I've done lots of sin in my Christian life, but some of the sins are always in front of me, every day. I don't know about you. It's in front of me. That I'm a bad person? No. I'm aware of my weakness. I need more God. And that's how he was in his repentance, a broken, contrite spirit. He knew his sin, his downfall. He understood how Satan can bring him down. He was very conscious about it. And he goes on to say, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Before, he was defensive. It was not my fault, it's somebody else's. He pushed the blame. But after he was challenged and rebuked, he said, I sinned before God. There's no Bathsheba in the story. There's no Nathan. There's no people. There's nobody. It's between you and God. And I really believe, right here in this story, about David, God called him a man after my own heart, because he still wanted to do what is right when he fell into sin. We will fall into sin. I will fall into sin. You, everybody in this room is going to fall into sin. Whether you like it or not, that is who you are. That's your makeup. That's how God formed you. There is some sinful nature going on, right? But if you're aware of it, if you talk about it, be open about it, don't wait for someone to rebuke you. I'm talking to the campus men. Don't wait someone from the outside to come and rebuke you. Well, I heard. I got this so-and-so told me about you. Like, I don't want somebody. I want to know my own sin. I want to clean up my act quickly. I was sitting, I think it was a few weeks ago, Max and Sal and Simon and Chris were all sitting together, all five of us together. We're having our D group. And I went around and said, you know, you guys got any input for me? Anything you've seen? And we went around and they were brainstorming. Yeah, good. You know, I can be blindsided. So we all went around and we helping each other grow. It's called an accountability group, and we are very comfortable with that. Some of them were a little bit, but you know what? By the end of the day, we're all laughing. You know, when we can laugh at the end of the group, that's a good sign. But the point what I'm trying to talk about here is David was very aware of sin right in front of me. So he dealt with it every single day. And I really believe that, brothers and sisters and friends, if you deal with it every single day, you're going to be victorious. And David became totally different after that. And finally, we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to talk about prayer and about his character. So turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. We'll read a little bit of this, and then Lauren will come up and share her life. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 2, if you're familiar with the book, it's written around 455 BC. He was given the charge to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. As soon as he heard about it, he was so conscience stricken that he was so broken before God and said, you know what, how could this happen? He fasted, he prayed, he went to the Lord and shared his burden to God. Before he talked with the king. And I think I want us to, as a church, to really become more spiritual in this point. Okay? That's for everybody, collective. You and I will feel the burden. Amen? We all agree? Maybe school, maybe work, maybe church. I know a few months ago, Brett was feeling the burden. No one's signing up for ushering. Well, that burden is gone and people are helping out. Everything's good. Amen. Appreciate everybody doing that. And the same thing with the singing. There are different needs in the church. You'll feel the burden. Ron shared last week, and I felt the burden a few years ago. Where is the money going to come up? And what's, well, we give over to the Lord. We talk about it. Everything is good. Amen to that. The point being, when we feel the burden, we go to God first. And it's important, church, that we don't go to one another and dump the burden. Because a human being cannot deal with your burden. Because then they get burdened. Now we got two people burdened. And then if two goes tell another two, then we got four. Maybe the whole triad, and maybe the whole family group, and then the... No. That's not what Nehemiah did. He went to God first. He dealt with it. It's between him and God. And so the burden God puts on your heart is between you and God. It is not people. People. It is to go to God. If I had a tire puncture, I can't blame a tire company. Are you with me? Now that's my temptation, but I'm not going to go there. I shouldn't. Oh, no. God, help me. I hope I have a spare. Does that make sense? That's how we become more and more spiritual. So let's look at it in chapter 2. He prayed, had a great prayer the whole chapter 1. He fasted, he prayed, he wept, he cried, he sat down, you know, he didn't even see the walls. I mean, that's how intense it is. He didn't even see the wall, he just heard He just heard the walls of Jerusalem came down. He just cried out and prayed to the Lord. And God will rescue anybody who goes to Him. A few months ago, I felt the burden. Maybe I shared this church. I felt the burden. Okay, where are we going to meet next year? Talking to the leadership, talking to the board. I said, you know what? Before I talk to anybody, I got to go to the Lord. It's not in my hands. And so last week, after much prayer and talking with the leadership and everybody else, I went to the director of the place right here in Connelstone. I got to be honest, I was a little bit nervous. I got to pray a little bit extra. I sat in the car like, God, please, you know, soften our heart and maybe do some miracle, whatever. I walked in, talked to the director. She was very friendly, and she just had a baby recently and asked her about life and all that good stuff. And then I talked about the summer. We're going to meet up here. We worked out a deal. It's all good. I want to ask you one thing. How about, can we extend our contract with Constone? In a split second, she said, sure. It's almost like she's waiting for me to, and I'm like, okay. And she said, you know, the other group who meets here too, they also ask the same thing. So, you know, we got a lot of people praying. So they decided now, because of them and us, they're going to change the church policy and have a contract and leave it extended for one more year. So let's be nice to them. Let's not break any window in the meantime. Else... Because we haven't signed the contract yet. I just got too excited. We haven't given the money. Yeah, amen, everybody. Just let's be nice. So far, so good. They like us. We like them. Hallelujah. I'm sure Grace is fired up. Chapter 2. He goes up to the king because he got to build the wall, right? He goes up to the king and king asked him in verse 2, so why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. Pointed question there. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. What a way to answer the question. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it. And the king with the queen sitting beside him asked him, how long will your journey take? And when will he get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. It's done. But what I love about his heart, when the king questioned, he was not like, aah! He prayed. He took a few seconds. He didn't say how long. Took a few seconds, he looked up to heaven, he prayed, and he answered the question. We got to be like that in our company, with our boss, with our co-workers, with our landlords. I'm telling you, God will give you strength right then, because before you answer somebody else, you're looking to God for strength. And you think God won't? He will, because you believe. If you don't believe, God, can you hear me? And the boss goes, what are you doing? Don't do that, okay? But in your heart, just pray. God will do miracles. Guess what happened? Let's continue. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, now he's getting fired up. He's asking more now, right? If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governor of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have, oh, by the way, one more. And may I have a letter of to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of citadel, for the temple and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of Euphrates and gave them the king's letter. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with him. Wow. Now, that's how God blows your mind away. You ask for a letter, God gives you more. He'll blow your mind away because God wants to show it's not you. You didn't do nothing. I did it for you, and you will give God the glory. Amen to that. This time I'm going to ask Lauren Jr. to come share. And I was waiting for this for a few months, and I think she's ready to share. And I really appreciate you, Lauren, being a great friend to my daughter and even Hannah B. And when you were back 7 years ago in the kids' kingdom. So workers, great job. And seriously, I think she prayed, persevered, and really decided, in spite of all the dysfunction growing up, I'm going to trust God. So here we go.
Okay, 1 second. Is that good? Can you hear me? Okay, I guess I'll just stand here then. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Thank you everybody for coming to my grad party. It turned out pretty well, and those of you that couldn't come, that's okay. It turned out pretty good. It was really hot yesterday, but the cake was good, at least. So I guess to start, I didn't grow up in the church. Umin invited my mom when he met her at work, and so I came to church kind of like not really knowing like how church worked. I didn't really know like what to do, and so eventually, like, you know, I got warmed up and I met Hannah and Millie, and we built some, you know, really great friendships there. And so and I was kind of critical of the church. I was like, I don't know that person. I started, you know, making up things in my head about what church was supposed to be like, and all that. So then I grew really close to Melissa, and I look up to her. Day one, I've always looked up to Millie and Hannah. We always share some really great laughs whenever we see each other. And I grew really close to James and Kelly. They've helped me through a lot of tough situations, and they continue to support me, so, which is awesome. So I was first encouraged to study the Bible by Melissa. This was before college, so probably wasn't a good idea, but we started the studies, but then Millie had to go to college, so she left me, and I was like, okay. So, so I didn't really get to finish my studies, and so I kind of just, gave up, and my heart really wasn't in it. It really wasn't connected. And then a couple years went by, and then Darcy and Becky attempted to study with me. It was a little bit hard because, you know, they're both moms and both work, and our schedules just didn't line up, and it was just kind of hard to just connect and just be consistent, because consistency was really important for me to, you know, have with the studies. And so that kind of fell through with just me being disconnected, and I was a little discouraged, but I moved on. And so then during that time, I went to camp, the Church of Christ camp over, I think it's in Polo, Illinois, I'm not sure, but So I've been going there since eighth grade, and it's an awesome experience. I love camp. I built so many good friendships. Like, some of my best friends are some of my best friends that I have are from camp, and so I just loved building those friendships and just having those relationships. Every time I go to Chicago, I have a bunch of people I can talk to and meet up with, and so it's super awesome. But through my years at camp, it was just for fun. I wasn't really I wasn't really listening. I wasn't really taking anything from it. I wasn't, applying anything to my life. And the summer of 2017, my last year at camp, I went, and during that time I felt lost, and like my whole junior year of high school was just kind of a blur, and I didn't really know who I was, and God was like, oh really? And he's like, yeah. So the theme for that camp that summer was true identity, so I was like, oh really? So I went, and I was felt super convicted, and I brought a lot home with me, and so as soon as I came back, I was like, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try to study again. And so I studied for the last time with Kelly, Millie, Pam, Deb, and Darcy, and we, like, knocked it out in, like less than, a month. We got all the studies done. I was, like, super pumped and got, like, I was just super motivated just to get it all done. And so then I got baptized on September 8th, 2017. Yeah, so since then, yeah, first year is definitely hard, being a disciple. I think what I've grown in since I've gotten baptized is, like, my compassion for others definitely has grown. I just love being compassionate to other people and helping everyone, helping others out and having a great heart. I can see my heart has definitely changed, definitely. So thank you so much for listening. Really quick, thank you for those of you who have served. You guys are awesome, Papa and Lee, and I've seen somebody else, but yes, thank you. And yes, thank you.
I did it!
Hannah, you're next. That's all I'm going to say. It's good to be here, and I really appreciate you, Lauren. Being like Nehemiah, I want to close up with the whole point about when you face adversity, negative, around you, you got to turn to God. And what I love about God, not only answered prayers for Nehemiah, but he became bold through that. Your character changes when you pray more aggressively. God! Not like, God, I hope you're there. God, I want you. You know, your character changes and you keep doing it consistently for a month. You're different. You're going to use your hands for praying. You're going to be all in about prayer. And you become, God, you answered me 3 years ago. You got to answer me now. You have given me an awesome job before, but God, now. Amen. But God also does that, not just to help you answer prayer, but to change your character to become different. Amen to that. And so when he went to the king, he was bold. He was insecure. He was a little bit sad, but when he prayed, he became bold. You can be a bold person, and that's how we use that character to share our faith with people. Then you're bold. If you can face the king, you can face anybody. Are you with me? Oh, that's a weak amen there. I want to hear some bold amens like before. Okay, got it. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, we can learn from Abraham, learn from David, learn from Nehemiah. God, we see all three of them, Lord, are heroes who faced challenges in life. But God, they came to you. They trusted you, Lord. Help us, God, to trust you that way. Totally. 100%. God, not just today in 2018 because life is good, but God, in 2019 and 2020 and 2025 and 2030 if you're still alive, Lord, or 2040 or 2050, Lord, till the day of our last breath. God, help us to call upon you with open heart, open mind, open arms. God, help us, save us, forgive us, God. Lord, help us to learn from David. He always knew his sin, so he'll never go back. God, help us to be people today to remember what you have died on the cross because of that sin. Thank you, God, for your incredible heart wanting to die to yourself every single day so many men can be saved. Thank you, God, for each one of us. Great to hear Lauren's story. God, there's so many stories in this room that we'll be able to share our story with everybody around us, Lord, that they will hear. God, we pray for our incredible June, July, our hometown missionary, our Bible talks, that we can congregate, we can help, we can go to different places and be able to share the word when people have not. God, even yesterday, Lord, I was so fired up to meet a guy at the Y, working out together, Lord. He wants to come and join. Father, there's so many people out there wanting to hear the word truthfully, plainly, clearly. Use us in a powerful way. Lord, help us have a great day, a great weekend. We love you. In his name we pray. Amen.